Chamber of Commerce President Les Odell. Hey, how are you this morning, Les?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
Good. You got a new kid in the house. You get any sleep?
Not much. Yeah, we've got a new foster son who's 6 weeks old, and so not getting a whole lot of sleep, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Good-looking kid, by the way.
Thank you.
Les, earlier in the week we heard a sound cut from you talking about the minimum wage increase, its potential impact in Carbondale. Before I
get
to that itself, how do we have a conversation about the minimum wage increase without sounding like capitalist tyrants that want to hold people down? See, that's one of the things that is not said, but it has clear political implications, among other things. And then, of course, the fact that, you know, you and I mean, when I started in this business, $2.30 an hour.
That was
the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, I mean, I do understand. I know you started somewhere else, too. But how do you have this conversation without sounding like a capitalist tyrant pig?
You know, I think we kind of have to explain that keeping the minimum wage, you know, at a lower level rather than a ginormous $15 an hour is more friendly to the folks who are anti-capitalism, if you will, than raising it up. Because, you know, if the minimum wage stays where it is or goes up a dollar or two, it's still going to employ people. My big concern is if we make a jump over a few years or immediately to $15 an hour, our small businesses, our employers, aren't going to hire as many people, and they're certainly not going to hire, you know, entry-level people for jobs, you know, that require a lot of skill at that level. You know, they're going to spend a lot of money for untrained students or untrained people in a lot of places. So, you know, I think it's better for the economy to keep it lower so that more folks are employed.
And it's interesting because the chant is, well, if you work full-time at minimum wage, you don't make a living wage. Without, of course, coming to the implications that if the tax burden wasn't so much, that maybe they would. And then again, I've got my suspicion that the state of Illinois, there's two aspects from a political standpoint. They want Governor Rauner to say no to minimum wage so they can beat him over the head with it in the 2018 election. And then the other thing is, you know, when you get paid $15, the state of Illinois makes more money, and if you haven't heard, we need it.
Exactly. But you know what? I don't think they're seeing the forest for the trees. If there are fewer people employed, they're not going to make as much. In fact, they're going to pay out more in unemployment, in social services. I mean, they use the argument that raising the minimum wage will take people off of, you know, some of the government programs. Yeah, but if you're not working, you're going to be on those programs. So, you know, I think there's really need some extensive study. I think we need to look at other states that have done this, and I don't think the numbers will hold true to what a lot of folks want to believe.
What do, with the people that you represent in Carbondale, especially in respect to this new statistical survey that shows by WalletHub, second best city to start growing a small city, to start growing a business in, and that number two slot, Carbondale. Talk to me about your businesses and that qualification, and hopefully attractive to somebody who wants to come here and start a business, that the effect minimum wage would have on that.
Oh, it would take us off the list completely. You know, when WalletHub looked at communities, they looked at cost of labor, they looked at cost of living, they looked at access to capital, they looked at access to other resources, and certainly Carbondale has all of those, as does most of Southern Illinois. But suddenly, if you change that to where the cost of living goes up, where the cost of a workforce goes up, we're going to drop right off that list and won't be as appealing to entrepreneurs or anybody else who's looking to start or grow a business.
You know, there's another aspect that I consider personally. And I explained this to J.B. Pritzker last week when he joined me in the studio and said, we need to increase minimum wage. And I said, wait a second, how many people do you want me to fire?
Right.
And he didn't have an answer to that question. Because, and I want to explain this, that, you know, I'm part of a broadcast corporation that has other locations. So they go, wow, why is Miller's labor cost so high in Illinois compared to everybody else?
Exactly. If you go, you know, and we've all gone to a fast food restaurant and had to wait in line for a long time because there may be only two or three employees there. Well, if that business owner who maybe is just making a bare minimum profit now has to increase the minimum wage, you know, what he's paying, those two or three may be one or two. And if you think you had to wait for a while for a burger before, wait after this goes into effect.
You think
you're going to be ordering through a machine.
I was going to ask about automation. I mean, do you think some of this is semantics? And when I say that, when they say minimum wage is not a living wage, didn't say it was minimum. Didn't say it was a living wage. We said it was the minimum wage. And see, part of this is semantics.
I agree. I mean, the minimum wage was never designed to be a living wage. It was designed to be something for folks to start out part time, for students like you and I. You know, when you first worked, you know, and when I first worked in a bicycle shop at $3.35 an hour or whatever, it was designed to be something to supplement what we were doing. You know, whether it was school or to get us started. It wasn't designed to be a permanent career.
And, you know, part of this we have to realize was when this started being created was a safety net to make sure no employer paid you less than that. See, now there's part of this, and, you know, if you want somebody and there's greater demand, then you will have to pay. I mean, I know a number of guys who run their own business, people like carpenters, painters, things along that line. If they want men, women to go out and work with them hanging drywall or painting a home, they know that they're not going to be up at minimum wage and somebody's going to show up on day two. They pay closer to $15, $16 an hour because the market dictates it. Now, you've got other people, a matter of fact, a fast food restaurant manager who stopped me and talked to me, says, you don't understand. And some of the people in kitchens in these restaurants get paid a great deal more than minimum wage because you have to or they're not going to be there the next day. And this one person at the fast food restaurant says, look, we don't let our people take the trash out the first day because once they walk out the door, they don't come back.
Exactly.
Got new people.
You know, it's something that I think we're just trying to put more burden on small business. And in a lot of ways, and I don't think this has come out, it's an upstate versus downstate thing. If you look at the legislation in the state assembly, there's not a single sponsor of that minimum wage bill south of I-80.
That's interesting. I hadn't realized that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is this a political hot potato, a third rail, that basically what you do is you throw this at your opponent and then watch him fumble with it so you can say, look, now you know you don't want to vote for him. I mean, is that what this is about, or is this about minimum wage? Because I get the idea it's a lot more about politics in Illinois because of the timing than it is sheer necessity. Because if people cared about the taxpayers and workers of Illinois, they would have a budget. If they cared, if they cared about it, then these bills for hospitals, nursing homes would be paid. If they cared about the people of Illinois, they would mind the budget better. And so the act of first caring for people and how much they make is the way the money you take from them is spent.
I completely agree. I think it is political. You know, if the folks in Springfield really wanted to look out for us and do exactly what you say, they would, you know, pass a budget, get funding to social service agencies, get funding to universities, to higher education, so that those people can continue to hire. I mean, right now, you look at Southern Illinois University, they're not going to be having student workers at minimum wage, whether it's $8 an hour or $20 an hour. It doesn't make any difference. If without a budget, they're not going to have any of those folks.
You know, I talked to some of your businessmen who are really worried about what happens in relationship to the budget. I know some mutual friends of ours were in Springfield, not last week, week before, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Saying, get a budget. We got to get this done. We're on shaky legs. You know, if something happens like we're seeing happen at SIU and it keeps getting worse, then I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep my head above water.
Exactly. And, you know, I like to say if SIU sneezes, Southern Illinois catches pneumonia, and we are just about to that point.
Right. Underwater, and now we're breathing the water. Les O'Dell, Carbondale Chamber of Commerce. Good luck with the new member of the family there. And, you know, I still feel awkward talking about this, Les, the minimum wage, because I was there, man. I know, and
oh,
I'm telling you what.
And I think it's microeconomics versus macroeconomics. Would I like to make more? Would I like my daughter who works, you know, at a, you know, who may be working as a high school student or somewhere, like her to make more? Absolutely. But when you look at the big picture, I think it hurts more than it helps.
You know, do we need to pay minimum wage somebody who can barely sign their name and can't find where they are on a map? Because there's some of that educational aspect as well. I mean, I have literally been training SIU students for now 42 years, starting this October. I've been training SIU students out of broadcast school, teaching them how it really works in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you from that standpoint, when I'm helping them do everything, I don't know that I want to pay somebody $15 an hour when I'm doing half the work.
Right.
That training aspect that I'm trying to help them, and this may shut the door for opportunity for a long list of broadcast employees in my company and other radio stations across this state.
Yeah, exactly. And Tom, we're not against people who work in those sorts of jobs, you know, who are working in the food service sector or in hospitality, not against those folks at all. We just need to take a look at the big picture and say what's right for the people of the state of Illinois. And, you know, that I don't know that this is the right way to build our economy.
All right. Les O'Dell, Carbondale Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Les, thanks for your time.